A homily for Pentecost Sunday. There appears to be quite a few Catholics in the faith who understand Pentecost in a way that gives the impression that the third person of the Holy Trinity was almost silent and taking a back seat in the entire story of salvation history until that eventful day when the Holy Spirit came upon those gathered in the cenacle or upper room, unleashing his unimaginable power to the world. But is that true? Was the Holy Spirit really absent or inactive all the while up till that moment? Not if we understand that the Holy Spirit is the love that flows without ceasing between the Father and the Son, keeping everything in existence. If not, then thinking of the Holy Spirit as somehow being absent would be terribly erroneous and as a result cause us to think about the Holy Spirit in a very limited way and diminish, as it were, his divine potency. As well, if this describes how we think about God, it could explain why many Catholics do not live in a very empowered way where an active faith life is concerned. God's three persons cannot and should not be separated in any of God's divine actions in creation and salvation. After all, from the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis, where the story of creation encapsulates the act of creation, God's three persons were already in action. We are told that God's Spirit hovered over the Tohu Vabohu. This Hebrew phrase is used to denote the condition of the earth before the creation of light. Some translations call this a formless void. So right from the beginning of time as we know it, the Holy Spirit was already in existence and already in action. In the creation of man, what was breathed into the nostrils of Adam was the breath of God, which is another term to use to denote the Holy Spirit. It was what caused Adam to come to life. Now, fast forward to the sublime event of the Incarnation at the Annunciation of Mary, where the angel Gabriel gives the world its long-awaited message of salvation through the Incarnation. What was the message to Mary? But that the Holy Spirit would cover her with its shadow. It's almost a refrain of what had happened in the act of creation where the Holy Spirit hovered over the formless void. In the world of music, a repeated melody is also called a refrain, where the listener is brought back to its beginning. In the Annunciation, God is, once again, creating, but in a novel and truly unprecedented way. God himself in the Incarnation breaks into humanity and its messiness to create it anew. The refrain of the Holy Spirit is once again heard. At the apex of the mystery of the Incarnation is the cross of Calvary, where the love of God is stripped of all its previous hiddenness and love in its purest and most altruistic form is exposed for the world to see. The Holy Spirit isn't at all absent there in this unobstructed view of God's salvific love, because we are told that the last words of Jesus on that infamous gibbet was, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Who is this spirit but the Holy Spirit that had always been the dynamic relationship between the Father and the Son? Again, the Holy Spirit's refrain is heard. This brings us to the glorious event of Pentecost that the Church celebrates and commemorates today. I suppose in some ways it is the Holy Spirit's moment in time to shine and take center stage, but the truth is that the Holy Spirit never left the stage at all, because the three persons of the Holy Trinity are never separated and isolated and left out of the Trinitarian relationship of total giving and total receiving. It is erroneous to think that there could be a part of God that is not there in some event or moment in the history of creation. Scripture is very clear about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and we see this list mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. St. Paul lists 9 very specific fruits as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In biological terms, a fruit is the result that comes after the process of fertilization. In a spiritual life, these fruits are mentioned by Paul, and they are tasted and harvested in our lives only after we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. to be planted, germinated, and matured in the soil of our hearts. Every single one of the fruits mentioned are seen clear as a bell in the life of Jesus, who is the fruit of the womb of his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the fertile soil in which the Word of God was planted, resulting in the mystery of the God-man Jesus Christ. Each Pentecost Sunday, we see scriptural evidence of how God is recreating the world through the empowerment of his apostles when the Holy Spirit is able to work through them. We see immense courage and fortitude, which are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts, as the word implies, are not entitlements. They are freely given and given at the discretion of the giver. All the recipient needs to have is a grateful heart to let the receiver receive these gifts with gratitude and to use them for the glory of the giver. Those are gifts. Fruits are another thing. The gospel text for this year's Pentecost Sunday highlights Jesus' first gift to his apostles after the resurrection, when he appears to them in the upper room. Peace is the first thing that Jesus bestows on his disciples when he appears before them, and peace be with you are his first words that he greets them with. I have said it before that Jesus had every right at the moment in time to berate them for their cowardice and temerity at the trial and passion that he underwent, resulting in his ignominious death on the cross. But it was precisely because he knew that their hearts were heavy with remorse, embarrassment, and filled with regret, that they had to be tended to first, and tended to with mercy, which gives them the much-needed peace. What they received was a tremendous gift, and this gift was not to be kept to themselves. In the very next instant, Jesus commands that they do the same when they start the first steps in building up the fledgling church. Peace needs to be the Christian's weapon of choice when fighting in the army of the church militant. Unless we know peace ourselves, there will be no peace. So, on this birthday of the church, I pray that the Holy Spirit's fire of love burn away the dross of impurities in our hearts as we bring the peace of God's love to everyone we encounter in life. And God love you.